Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I greet you all. I'd like to welcome everyone and those who are joining us via live stream. Okay. I would like to begin with the announcement. Announcements are as follows. The collection for tonight goes to the church and also to the missionary work. The church council would like to convene a congregational meeting for July 26th, and you are asked to please diarize this one. There's going to be a games night on the 14th of June. Now for the greeting. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the creator of heaven and the earth. Amen. Let us stand for the blessing. Grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing, in response to the blessing, let us sing Psalm 96. We're going to read to sing from stanza 1 and 2. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we humbly come before your throne of grace this evening. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we come to worship you, to give you honor, and to give you all the praise that you deserve. Father, may our hearts be drawn to you this evening. May our singing be blessed by you, Lord. All the things that we do this evening, Lord, that we may be pleasing to you. We pray and ask that you may bless us, Lord, in the reading of your word, also in the explanation of your word. May our hearts be filled with your spirit, Lord. Father, we pray and ask that you may forgive us our sin and that you may cause us, Lord, to walk humbly before you, to praise you and to live our lives for the honor and the glory of your name. Lord, we ask you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Psalm 51. We are going to read verses 1 through 19. Then after the reading of the scripture, we're going to sing from Psalm 51. We're going to read to sing from stanza 1 and 5. And it reads as follows. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. O God, you who are my God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of all your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifices, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Our text this evening comes from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 1 through verse 27. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Raba, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David said to someone, sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her manly uncleanness. Then she went back home, and the woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent his word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite," and Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was and how the soldiers were and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all his master servants and did not go down to his house. David was told, "Uriah did not go home." So he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went to sleep on his mat among the master servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to Uriah. In it he wrote, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messengers, "When you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up and he may ask you, 'Why did you get so close to the city to fight? Didn't you know that they will shoot arrows from the wall? Who killed Abimelech son of Jerubbaal? Didn't a woman drop an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Tebes? Why did you get so close to the wall?' If he asks you this, then say to him, 'Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead.'" Then the messenger sent out, and when he arrived, he told David everything Joab had sent to him to say. The messenger said to David, "The men overpowered us and came out against us in the open, but we drove them back to the entrance of the city gate. Then the archers shot arrows at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead." David told the messengers, "Say this to Joab, 'Don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as another. Press the attack against the city and destroy it.' Say this to encourage Joab." When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Even the strongest believers can fall into sin. every time when they grow complacent. And this we learn from the story of David, as it reminds us that none of us in this world is immune to sin. Not even a man who was after God's own heart, as we read in our scripture this evening. We learn in the Bible that sin always comes to us very quietly. And then whenever we assume that we are untouchable, it's then when we drift from the presence of the Lord. I have seen so many people in my life, so many Christian people who once stood firm in their faith, but they now walk away because of sin. Many Christians have fallen into sin today and then believing that no one will ever find out. And then most of them, they continue living their lives in sin, assuming that no one will ever find out. And today, their families are ruined and their faith has been shaken. And then you ask yourself why. And it's because sin, whenever it's hidden, it will eventually come to life. And then it will eventually come to light, excuse me. And then sin, when hidden, will always come to destroy us. This evening, our focus is on King David, a man who has been described in the Bible as God's, a man after God's own heart. And then after countless victories, as we read in the story in the book of Samuel, after so many countless victories and demonstrations of faith, here we find this man in a moment of profound failure. And then this is something the Lord is telling us, is encouraging us. The Lord is warning us against hiding our own sin or living our lives thinking that no one will find out. And then I want to speak on three things this evening. My theme is you can't hide from God, but you can run to him. And then my focus is on three things. I would like to speak firstly on the when desire overrides duty. Secondly, I want to look at desperate cover-up, as we see David trying to cover up his own sin. Thirdly, I would like to speak about the ripple effect of sin in the life of a believer. And then firstly, when we look at the first point, when desire overrides duty, if you read from the chapter here, you realize that the Bible tells us, or the chapter begins by telling us that this event happened during the spring, the season when kings went to battle. This is the time when David and this man were supposed to be going to have gone fighting against their enemies. But then here we read that David unusually remained behind in Jerusalem. We are not told the reasons why. Probably maybe it was because maybe he trusted Joab so much. It could be because maybe he had maybe other things to do. Maybe he was tired, or maybe we are not told. But then the first mistake that David did was not to be responsible on his God-given responsibilities. The fact that he sent out Joab and this man out was the first mistake that David made. And then the Bible tells us that while remaining behind in Jerusalem, one evening David rose from bed and he was walking on the rooftop. And then the Bible tells us that he saw a woman bathing, and that it was a beautiful woman. And then David sent out people, someone to go and inquire about this woman. This was the second mistake that David did, in fact, because remember the first mistake was that he did not take the responsibility, his God-given responsibility, and yet now he finds himself looking at the things he was not supposed to have been looking at, doing the things that he was not supposed to be doing that. And then the Bible tells us that after inquiring about this woman, he was told that the woman is the wife of one of his soldiers. And then the Bible says David sent for her and he slept with her. And then later on, this woman told David that she was pregnant. And then you can read from the passage here that she was not pregnant before sleeping with David, because the Bible also tells us that I can't remember the verse here, but then the Bible tells us that it was during the time of a cleansing. And then this also tells us that before David slept with the woman, she was not pregnant, but then David was responsible for this pregnancy. And then here we see David, who failed to go with his own men to battle. And then now he finds himself sinning against the Lord, because of he did not take care of his God-given responsibility. Remember, the Bible tells us that David had his own wives, but then it seems as if it was not enough for him. They were not enough for him, but then he found himself here looking at this beautiful woman and then committing the sin of adultery with her. And then here, what is most important for us to understand here is that whenever you and I, whenever we don't fulfill our God-given responsibilities, that is the time when sin creeps into our lives. If whenever you and I don't walk according to the word of God, when we stop, when we don't use the means of grace, for example, when we stop attending maybe the Bible study, when we stop reading the word of God, when we stop praying, this is the time when you and I always give the devil an opportunity to lure us into sin. And this is exactly what David was doing in this chapter, because he had been busy with the work of the Lord, he wouldn't have found himself walking on the rooftop, looking at a woman who was bathing. But then we see here that we are most too vulnerable to sin when we are idle. And then whenever we disconnect from the purpose and from the word of God is then when you and I fall into sin. Most of the time we find ourselves bored, and then we go into social media, we start looking at the things we're not supposed to be doing. Maybe it could be television and any other things, but then whenever we start drawing away from the things of the Lord, from our duties as Christians, is then when we give the devil an opportunity to lure us into sins, just like the way in which David did. And then my question to you this evening, if I may put it in this way, what do you do if you find yourself in this situation that David found himself in? David sinned with the wife of Uriah, and at this point, no one knew about it. Then what do you do? How do you respond as a Christian when you find yourself fallen into sin and nobody knows about it? Do you carry on? Do you just carry on as normal and then everything just continue business as usual? Do you try to hide your sin, or do you go to the Lord and confess your sin? They say, someone says something here. They said, sin will always take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. So here, the consequences of this thing is that whenever we continue living our lives with unrepentant sin, unconfessed sin, and then everything in our lives, then it's then when we draw away from the Lord, from the presence of the Lord. And then if you look at this chapter, David, after sinning, what did he do? On our second point, desperate cover up. David, even after falling into sin with this woman, what he needed to have done was to confess the sin before the Lord. But then the Bible tells us that David came up with his own plan of covering this sin up. When Bathsheba said to David, "I am pregnant," of course David was concerned. What will he say to his wives? What will he say to Israel? And what about Uriah, his soldier? How is he going to face the nation after committing this sin? But then David, instead of confessing, he devised a cover-up, and then he thought, maybe I will hide my sin. No one will ever find out. No one will ever know. And this is exactly the way most of us respond to sin when we fall into sin. And then as long as people don't know about this sin, then I can just carry on. Most of us live like that every day of our lives. And we continue living our lives, covering up our sin in order so that other people cannot find out about those kind of sins we are struggling with. And then the Bible says here that David called Uriah from the battle, hoping that he will come back home, sleep with his wife, so that the child could appear to be his. And then imagine this: the man who is called man after God's heart. We don't expect that kind of a person like David to be doing this kind of a thing. But then remember, he was also human. He was sinful just like you and I. He had also his own mistake, his own shortcomings. The Bible says that he wanted to cover up so that it may look like the child was Uriah. And then no one will ever know that David was the one who impregnated this beautiful woman. But then the Bible tells us that although he tried to make this cover up, although he tried to make this plan, it did not work out. Uriah came, but then he did not go home. He did not sleep with his wife. And then David was now stranded. He didn't even know what to do anymore because his plan was failing. And then his plan was failing because Uriah could not do exactly what David thought it would work. And then David could have repented from his sin, but then he could have turned back, but then he dug deeper into his sin because when he saw that his sin was not, his plan of covering up his sin was not working, the Bible says that, and then he came up with another plan. First, it was the adultery. He first committed adultery, and now he's covering up his sin. This is the pattern that most of us, like, this is the same kind of a way in which you and I respond every day of our lives most of the time. In fact, because whenever we fall into sin and we don't want to confess our sin, and then we have to hide it. We have to lie about the sin. First the adultery, now the cover up as David was doing. And then when you are confronted with your own sin, your personal sin in your own life, how do you respond? Do you cover it? Do you try to hide it from other people? Or do you go to the Lord and confess your sin to the Lord? But then most of the time, the first thing that most people will do is to try to cover it up so that people may not find out about your struggle. But then this is exactly how David responded. And then we will see that this thing that David was doing here did not please the Lord in any way. If you look at the entire chapter, this 11th chapter of this book, you don't read anything about God from the beginning of the chapter. And only until the end, the last verse, this is where we are told that the Lord was not pleased with what David did. And all this time when David was busy committing these sins, when David was busy covering his sins from the eyes of the people, the Lord, he thought that God was not looking at it. God did not know. But then here we see that God knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows all our weaknesses. He knows even the secret things that we think that maybe no one else knows. David continued instead of repenting, instead of confessing, and then now he was covering his sin up. And then yet it did not work still. As we come to our third point, the ripple effect of sin. First it was the murder. First it was the adultery. Then it was the cover up and the lies. But then now here we come to see him resorting to something that is even worse. When he saw that the plan was not working, Uriah is not doing exactly what David thought he would do. And then now he resorted to something that is even far worse, which is murder. Now, because I cannot force Uriah to sleep with his wife, now I have to get rid of him. Maybe he thought that probably if I get rid of Uriah, and then he won't be, no one will know. Maybe everyone will think that the child was Uriah's. And then here we see David doing something that is very terrible. He even gave Joab a letter instructing to place Uriah at the front lines where the battle was fiercest because he wanted him dead. He wanted him dead because David could not, he was not able to face the nation. He was not able to face his wives, not alone the Lord himself because of the sins that he had committed. And then now here, then he said, no. Maybe my plan now, we have to put him to death, I have to kill him. And then he ordered that. And Uriah carried the very letter that ordered his death. Imagine that. And then this man was a loyal man. And he was not even suspecting anything that was happening at the time. And then this faithful man went and he died as David had planned. So first it was the adultery, then the cover up, and now murder. And then once Uriah was dead, the Bible tells us that David quickly took Bathsheba as his wife. And then to some people, what David did could have appeared as a kind gesture, for example. Some people might have thought that maybe this is a hero because he married the wife of the dead soldier. And then people saw him maybe in that way as the king who is also a hero in the nation. But then behind the scenes, it was a trail of sin, lust, adultery, deceit, and now murder. Although the people could not see exactly the heart of David or his sins, although he was trying to cover them up, but then the Bible tells us that the Lord was watching every step of the way. God knew
all about the sins of David, and it was not hidden from the eyes of the Lord. Isn't it true for most of us that every time when we sin, sometimes we tend to convince ourselves that maybe the Lord does not see my sin, especially if we have been doing it for a long time. We tend to come to a point that we thought that we convince ourselves that the Lord does not see me. Or maybe especially when we know that maybe other people are also doing the same thing, and then we convince ourselves that it is fine. We can continue living our lives just like it's a normal thing to do. But then what we don't realize is that whenever we engage or we find ourselves doing those kind of things, we should always be reminded that sin always opens the door to another. I gave you the example of David. First he committed adultery, then he had to lie. After lying, then he had to commit to murder someone because of that sin. So there's a ripple effect of sin. So what begins as just one sin, just one wrong, can end up in destruction. And this is the reason why the Lord is giving us this message here, so that you and I can guard our hearts against sin, against the ripple effect of sin. Sometimes we don't realize this at most of the time. That maybe this is just one sin, but then you don't realize that your sin will end up giving birth to many, many other sins. Sometimes we just say, maybe this is just a small thing. It's only just a conversation. It doesn't mean anything. But then in the end, you find yourself lured into sin, digging very, very deeply into sin. And this is a warning to us to guard our hearts against the ripple effect of sin. We may hide sin from others, but God sees each and every thing that we do. And God is displeased every time when he sees his children walking in sin, especially when he sees his children hiding their sin, covering up their sins. David's fall did not happen in an instant. It happened in stages, as we saw in this chapter. And so do our sins. And in conclusion, when we look at this story, especially when we look at all these things that David did, the adultery, the cover-up, and also the murder, we realize here that although he did so many all these terrible things, but in the story of David, as we read this evening from the book of Psalm chapter 51, did not end with his sin, but it ends at his confession. And this is something that the Lord is using in order to show us that whenever we fall into sin, it should not end there, but we have to turn to confession. While David in Psalm chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11 shows up the tragic and unveiling of a man trying to hide from his guilt, but yet Psalm 51 reveals a heart that is broken by conviction and awakened by grace. And this is something that is very, very important for us to understand, that here in the book of Psalm, we see David crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgression." This is not the cry of a man who was destroyed by shame, but then a man who has been drawn by mercy and the grace of the Lord. God's response to true repentance when you and I repent from our sins is not condemnation, but it is always filled with compassion. That same mercy that God showed to David when he restored David from his sin is also available to you and I in Jesus Christ. Whenever you and I, regardless of how long we've been trying to hide our sin, regardless of how long we've been trying to live our secret lives, maybe in sin, and other people don't know, but then the Bible tells us that when we come before the Lord in confession, when we come to him in true repentance, the Bible tells us that he gives us the same mercy, the same restoration that he gave to David. So that this mercy is available, in as much as it was available to David, it is also available to us today in Jesus Christ. So this is an encouragement to all of us here that let us not try to manage our appearances before the people, but then let us carry the weight of our guilt to the Lord and say, "Lord, please forgive me for my sin. Help me in this struggle, in this battle that I'm fighting every day of my life." And the Bible says, when you and I, in 1 John chapter 1 verse 19, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here we see that there's a danger of unconfessed sin, the danger of unrepentant sin, but then there's a hope that you and I, when we come to the Lord in confession and in repentance, the Lord is able to forgive us. He's able to cleanse us like David from all our unrighteousness. So do not live your life filled with guilt and do not let your heart live continually with burden, the burden of guilt. But when you can come to the Lord, when you can confess your sins to the Lord, and the Lord is so much, He can forgive you of all the struggles. He can forgive you of all the bad things, all the sins that you have committed. He can restore you into fellowship with Him, into fellowship with other believers. Confession is not an end of the end of your story, but it is the beginning of restoration. So let us come to Him in confession and then in faith always responding to Him, repenting from our sins, and know for sure that in Christ Jesus, the blood of Christ is able to forgive you and to wash you, to cleanse you from all sin. Amen. Let us sing from Psalm 51, and then we're going to sing stanza 8, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer after that. To the Lord in prayer. Lord our God, creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord, we come before you this evening. Lord, we confess our sins before you, our weaknesses, Lord. You know our hearts, you know our shortcomings, you know our sins. Nothing is hidden before you, Lord. And this evening, Lord, we come in repentance and in confession, confessing our sins and our guilt to you, Lord. Lord, we confess that many times we have tried to cover up our sins. We have tried, Lord, to hide our sins from others, but we realize that you know it all, Lord, and you are displeased with every sin, every single one of them. And Father, we come to you asking for your mercy, asking for your forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that you may forgive us, that you may humble us, and that you may give us the strength, Lord, to live for you.
Father, we pray that our hearts may be filled with your Spirit, Lord, and that you may give us the strength, Lord, to live faithful lives, holy lives, so that everything that we do, Lord, may be pleasing to you. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this hope that in Christ Jesus you have given us forgiveness of sin. And then through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you can restore us back into fellowship with you. Father, we pray for all those, even every individual, Lord, who might be struggling with sin, who might be hiding, trying to hide their sin. We pray, Lord, that you may forgive us and that you may restore us, Lord. Fill us with the joy of your salvation and draw us closer to you. Father, we pray that you and ask that you may forgive us our sin this evening and that you may be with us in each and everything, Lord. Bless us, O God, even as we go back home, to be with us during the week, Lord. Bless each and every activity. Bless us and our families. Father, we pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let us now sing the Confession of Faith, the Apostle Creed, and then we'll take the collection, and then we'll sing our closing hymn, Psalm 10, stanza 1 and 2. receive the Lord's blessing and depart in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.